This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 30th of April, 1959. The title of this lecture is Electronic Phenomena of the Mind. This tape is 60 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Thank you. There's one subject but if an auditor doesn't know anything about, he gets baffled. He gets wild ideas. Took 2 or 3 years to button up this particular subject, so I had better say something about it, even though it was some long time ago. And that's electronic phenomena of the mind. When we say electronic, everybody winces. They think we're talking about electronics or electronics people. We're not talking about electronics people. We're talking about the bits and things that go through the air before a person's field of vision when he's got his eyes closed, or the zits and zats and roops that hit the body, the steady pressures that smash down somebody's chest, all sorts of odd phenomena that has to do with little electrical shocks that a person gets, the ringing, singing sensations that they get in their ears, pressures they get against their faces, inside their skulls, and oddities of masses that they seem to detect, and how they draw a curtain in front of their faces so they can't see their facsimiles, and all of that sort of thing. Got the idea? Now that's what we're talking about. We're talking about actually either standing masses of electrical energy, which physics, by the way, is way behind us on. They're just catching up to a thing called a standing wave and that sort of thing. They have some vague idea about it, give you how far behind it is. Physics does not yet understand all of Nikola Tesla. And he was the first one that went into standing waves to amount to anything, ground waves. They haven't caught up to him yet. They don't know too much about these things, so that you start talking about standing waves and that sort of thing to electronics people or physicists and so forth, they get very baffled. Well, they should be baffled because they actually have no knowledge of the thing in the real. See, they don't see the thing itself. Now, an auditor or a PC sees the thing, and he has a very good grip on its existence, and therefore he makes a better acquaintance with it. You're in a much better position, in other words, to learn about electronic phenomena than a fully trained physicist. See, so don't view this via physics or via electronics. Just view it straight. Get the idea? Just to take a straight look at it. That's it. All right. Now there's such things as flows, electrical flows of one kind or another, which are of great interest to you. There's many of these things that are only rare and sporadic, and you only run into them once in a great while. But a flow, you run into all the time, all the time. And a ridge, you run into all the time, in PCs. Ridges and flows, ridges and flows, ridges and flows. Well, what's a ridge? Well, basically, a ridge is a standing wave of some kind or another, or a mass composed of electrical particles. Now, I think physics dramatized this when they said mass and matter was composed of electrons and protons and molecules and atoms, you see. And they said nothing was solid, they said. And boy, that's a lazy thing, you come to think about it. He won't make anything solid. Just look it over. Isn't that pretty lazy? Leave spaces all through the masses he mocks up. So obviously it was a bunch of lazy thetans that did the original investigation of this particular universe. Mass is mass. Don't worry about it. And mass is mass, that's all. And it's a peculiarity of mass that the thetan mocks up that can be chipped. You can take a piece of mass and you can knock bits off of it. And these become smaller particles Or directly, you can simply mock up a whole mass of small particles. Either way, you see? You can mock up a big mass and then corrode the thing so as to have small particles flying around. Well, take a board. You take a saw to a board, you saw the board, you get a lot of sawdust, right? Well, you take almost any mass, you can probably knock bits off of it and get the equivalent of electrical sawdust. An electrical mass, in other words, could become bits and pieces. It could be crushed up, smashed up, something of this sort, and you'd have residue. This residue could be an electrical particle, or a Thetan could simply just mock up a whole bunch of electrical particles. Now, what do we mean by an electrical particle? Well, it could have positive charge or negative charge or no charge, or some other kind of charge, depending on what postulate the Thetan thought of. See, a Thetan could postulate anything. So therefore, he could postulate 1,000 types of charge. You know, physics runs into this. There's diamagnetism and paramagnetism. You probably, unless you studied into the field of nuclear physics, you wouldn't even know these two existed. There's several metals which turn things that are perpendicular, and certain metals which lay things out at a parallel, and the attraction is a parallel attraction. It's not magnetism as we understand it, which is snap. Piece of iron snaps against a magnet which has two poles. That's highly specialized. There are other methods of attraction and repulsion of particles, not just positive and negative, you see. Well, if you could think of them, you could postulate them. It's easy as that, see? So you have greater and more variable behavior in electronic phenomena in the mind than you have in the physical universe. It's just what the Thetan happens to be mocking up, that's all. That's as easy as that. And it is as lacking in further order as that. All you have to know is that somebody can postulate something. Well, therefore, he can postulate anything he can postulate. And he can postulate anything. Anything. See? He can postulate purple giraffes that carry sword canes. You see? And he could postulate rhinoceroses that run only backwards and have clockwork mechanisms inside them that make their tails spin in a large circle. He could have postulate rhinoceroses. You pick off the front horn, you get a cigarette lighter. The second horn, well, you get a cigar cutter. You get the idea. I mean, the sky is the limit. And these, actually, I am merely tying to a known object just so that we can communicate about them. He could also postulate a vrr, and it's very easy for him to postulate a vrr. And, sky's the limit. So just loosen up on this whole subject of what can be in a mind. See? Now, what's odd, this is an oddity, is that there are many constants. Ridges are a constant, and the behavior of them. They're a constant. I don't know how this ever happened. These privately held things called ridges that nobody has talked much about have evidently been in such total agreement on the backtrack that they are and behave constantly from person to person. Ridges don't necessarily behave differently. But don't be alarmed if you run into a ridge that behaves in some different fashion, because again, it's merely the subject of a postulate. It's odd that it's constant. Now, a black mass, a black electrical mass, undefined, you know, he doesn't quite know its limits, doesn't quite know its mass. He just kind of got an idea there's a mass there. Over his left shoulder, in front of his face, or above his head, or something of this sort. They're just a mass. That's it, mass. You get an idea of a bunch of cotton wool, colored black, in a large ball, or stretched out in a long line, or making an X cross, or something like this, that has a little mass, weight, you know, and is a little difficult to push around, and shreds apart, and things can happen to you. You've got what I'm talking about when I talk about a mass. See, that would be the visual picture of it. All right, now this mass has certain characteristics. The first of the characteristics is that it exists. The second of the characteristics is that it exists in space. Third of the characteristics is it can be itself or composed of other masses. In other words, it could just be itself, or it could be composed of a whole bunch of facsimiles all crowded in together, or a whole bunch of masses in together. In other words, it can be a virgin or a composite, one or the other. So don't be surprised if one of these masses comes apart in pictures, and equally, don't be surprised if it simply comes apart and there's no pictures, you see, because there's two types. See, its bits and pieces that come off of it are not necessarily the things that collected together to make it. See, it could either be itself or it could be composed of a bunch of other things. Or the bits and things flying around the PC's head might be getting knocked off the mass, you see, and other things. But just get the idea of a mass. We got what we know as a ridge. It could be almost anything. We had better use the term mass as a general statement and a ridge as a special statement. Now, there's another constant about them. You can take a black one, tell the PC to turn it white, and it'll start to disperse and run. Black energy, because it is the least observed in black space, as is the most difficultly. Black masses are harder to make things happen to than visible masses. That is, the axioms of as-isness tell you why. You can't as-is a black mass in a black space because you can't see it. Unless you suddenly get the idea that you can see it and it remains black, why then it'll disperse. But the as-isness fact convinces PCs that black energy masses are very hard to take apart. Amongst other things, he's afraid of blackness, where he's been frightened of the dark, you see. Doesn't want to confront it, doesn't want to come near it. Therefore, it's apparently very difficult to take apart. But just tell him to turn it white, and he can take it apart. One of the old tricks, this is not necessarily a good trick, but it's a trick. Every injury will accumulate unto itself, probably, some black mass. Now, let's say this fellow has something wrong with the optic nerve of his right eye. You tell him to look along the optic nerve, he can, until he finds a black mass. It'll be the black mass which is the injured part of it. That's the thing he won't confront, you see. Now, just tell him to turn that black mass white and peel it away, or blow it away, or something like that, and he'll get a change in the character of his optic nerve. Got the idea? An individual who's just broken his leg around the area of the break usually has black patches, or the whole area is black. If you ask him to turn it white, it would dissipate, but if it remains black, it won't, because he, of course, can't confront blackness by his own postulates. Now, that's old black and white. Something should be known about that, you know, because you run into it. Every once in a while, PC says, well, everything is black. And you say, well, what can you confront? I can't confront anything because it's all black. I got you licked, haven't I? I'll fool him, tell him, turn it white and confront it or something. And then turn it black and or a little bit gray and confront it and a little bit darker and confront it. And now turn it brilliant white and confront it. And now turn it black and confront it. And he's something like that. He would. You could work some kind of a goofy gradient. This is not recommended. I'm just showing you can handle this stuff. You can do things with it. Now, where an outgoing flow has met an incoming flow and both are constant, you get a ridge. That's a specialized kind of black mass, or white mass, green mass, purple mass, or pink mass. Now, let me show you what I mean. A fellow is standing at one side of the room with a deck of cards. Another fellow is standing at the other side of the room with a deck of cards. These two fellows start throwing cards one at a time at each other, more or less on the same channel. A few of those cards are going to collide in midair, aren't they? And in the center of the room between those two people, a bunch of these cards will accumulate. See, even though lots of cards reach the other side of the room, some cards are going to be piled up in the middle of the room. Got the idea? If you want a wonderful example of this, almost a perfect example, go down to the customs shed of any country where they have tariff and customs and see the particles, packages and other things, trying to get out of the country and abroad, and particles outside the country trying to get into the country. And, of course, many of these don't make it. And they just keep piling up, piling up, piling up. It's a ridge. And that is a ridge. Those packages could be called ridge. It means the particles that can't go out because of the particles coming in, actually, or because there's something there restraining particles from going out or in. In either case, you have, as a final analysis, a ridge. Well, the way you take apart a ridge, of course, you could turn it white, you could do other things with it, and just tell the PC, well, stop mocking that up and start mocking something else up. I mean, that often works, too. The PC mocks all these things up, by the way. He is mocking them up. They are constant, but he is taking no responsibility for them. They are totally outside of his control. They appear to be utterly foreign, beyond any action he could take. They're utter determinism as far as he's concerned, so he just keeps mocking them up with other determinism out of control and all the rest of these things to them, and therefore they persist, and they also bother him. Most pain is associated with ridges and masses and so on. Pain, by the way, is pressure coming in and pressure going out meeting. Pain is a highly specialized form of ridge, unless it is simply mocked up as pain. You see, you can just mock up pain and say, well, that's pain. Anybody who touches that will suffer pain, you know, like you used to do and have been sorry for ever since. Anyway, here's this thing called a ridge. Now, this becomes very important to you, extremely important, because you're taking apart ridges, no matter how minute, how chronic, how unimportant, or how important, you're taking apart ridges with overt withhold, straight wire. You're taking apart ridges. Now, the individual is at cause point, both on the outflow and, to some degree, cause point on the inflow, isn't he? But he considers he's less on cause point on the inflow than the outflow. The inflow that he is causing, he feels, has more other determinism in it than the outflow is causing. You see that rather obviously. All right. Now, you're making him with overt, with whole straight wire. What have you done to... That's not the command, but it's the sense of it. What have you withheld from? You see, you're making him with the withhold take over the automaticity of inflow and outflow. Now, this gets arrested in a ridge, and many people get a black area right in front of their face or some distance from their face or even deep in their head, and sometimes when it's totally inverted, all the way back and back of their necks. See? And they'll have some kind of a mass. And when you run over it with whole straight wire, these ridges dissolve. There you take apart the sides coming in and the side that's going out. And that's why you use alternate questions. Take apart the side that's going out, take some of the ridge off there. Then the part that's coming in, some of the ridge off there. And then the part that's going out, you take some of it off there and some of it off there. And finally, you take the thing apart and it goes floop. Well, this mass and so forth is glutinous and other things, and it has other connections. Obviously, the person who is throwing the flow in must still be there beyond the other side of the ridge, according to the PC. It's very amusing. Here's the first experience of what is there that you are not looking at. Here's how it comes into being, by the way. What is there that you're not looking at? Now, I'll just ask you, what mustn't, now answer this question, what mustn't be behind your back at this moment? Got the idea? All right, that's just one method of masking. You've had this thing behind your back, you see. But it's not visible. It's a method of masking. Now, let's take a much more obvious one. If you had a black screen someplace, what mustn't be behind it? Go on, answer that question. What mustn't, if you had one, I don't say you have to have one or keep it, but if you had one, what mustn't be behind it? Well, here's the question the PC can't answer. Is it still behind it? Lion comes karumphing up. The individual puts up a black screen, blacks out the lion. Now, Maybe that was centuries or thousands of years ago. The lion has since then gone away. But the PC can't find it out because he's got a black screen. And that's why these occlusion screens exist. That's a definite part of the reality scale when a person starts hitting this. Now, ridges may be very unreal to people. And one of the reasons they seem to be very unreal to people is because they're below observation. If you look at your reality scale of postulate, there are several reality scales, but this old one of postulate, consideration, agreement, solid, line, and nothing. See, he's down below here in nothing. Well, he's below ridges. See, and you start to get him better, and he starts coming up the scale, and ridges appear. And when we first started talking about ridges many years ago, a great many people said, "Oh, pish-tosh, you know, there's no such thing." And as time went on and they got audited and came up scale, all of a sudden, a short time ago, as a year, I have received letters saying that research done and announced about 5 years ago or 6 years ago was absolutely factual, but this person, not getting much auditing and so on up the line, had suddenly found a ridge and knew now that I was talking about what I was talking about. They had now found one in themselves and so on, and they were passing on up above that point. I don't know how far south people were, how little auditing they got to give them a reality at that tremendous length of time, but I'm merely showing you that somebody who keeps telling you that there isn't such a thing, let's say somebody who was the colloquial term, wide open case, that's a technical term in Dianetics and Scientology. It's a sarcasm. The wide open case is its substitute. And the facsimiles are nice and big and bright and real and very overwhelming and haven't anything to do with the track at all. And run for a while on overt withhold or engrams or something of the sort, these wide open cases all of a sudden will turn into flicker and then black and then invisible cases before they actually come up and look at the engrams, you see. But you see quite a few of these around. I've seen some particularly peculiar amongst young girls and young boys in their early teens, something like that. You run into a lot of those people. You say, well, this person's very easy to process because he's got his whole track and he can see anything. He's got pictures of everything and he's very easy to process. And you process him and you process him and you work and he's getting along just fine. You're just doing a carpenter job on him, you know. Never has a cognition, just sits there and does these things, never gets well. You say, what's the matter with this? He had his engrams, and there they all were, and we ran them all. Oh, no, you didn't run out any engrams. He ran out some dub. It was all dub. See? Now, a person who does have engrams, here's the mere test, and the only test you can count on. The person who does have engrams, but he can see, and mental image pictures that he can see easily, that are the real pictures, recovers, has cognitions, and goes upscale like a shot rocket. See, he's fast. A wide open case is just one grasshopper power, and there's not much person there, and they're mostly overwhelmed, you know, and you work for, well, one of the tests would be an assist. Person sprained a hand or something like that, and you have them work on the sprained hand, and half an hour later, you're still working on the sprained hand, and an hour later, you're still working on the sprained hand, and it just doesn't seem to get much better. And then it gets better, and then they tell you, well, that was because you massaged it or something like that. They always do a substitute on the reason why, too. And if you don't read them straight on the tone scale, which you should have done in the first place, you should never be confused about one of these dub-in cases. Now, basically, what are we talking about when we're talking about a mental image picture? At first, it is in the terms of an electronic mass of some sort. That's usually in those terms. It's made out of some sort of standing waves or electrical energy or projection. There's a lot of electronic phenomena connected with just seeing a mental image picture. Now, as you come upscale and this thing starts to develop and the PC more and more is in that present time of the picture, this picture can become more solid and more real than these walls. Well, we say, well, it ceases to become electronic phenomena and begins to become a physical universe environment. Now, if a physical universe environment is totally electrical phenomena, why then the picture is still electrical phenomena, but there's the argument. It comes up to reality, in other words. Now, whatever reality is, we don't care. As it begins to disintegrate and chip apart, you start running into electrical phenomena. See, as the picture comes down scale and it's less real and so forth, it's more prone to have electrical phenomena connected with it. You're liable to get flows back and forth from it, and the masses accumulate. And as it disappears and goes into black masses, it'll eventually come out the other way and turn into automatic dubs of one kind or another. And a lot of monkey business goes on. See? So when you're talking about pictures, you're talking about a specialized type of electronic phenomena. When you're talking about universes, you're probably talking about a specialized type, too. What we mean precisely, however, when we say phenomena, is actually the flows and masses which stand around in spaces and charge and discharge against each other, and the ridges that form, and the sparks that generate, and the thing that your e-meter reads on. That's what's making your e-meter read. The more dense these become, the more resistance, rather, is formed in these electronic masses, the more current it takes to go through them, and the higher your tone arm reads. It's a simple thing. You start having a fellow mock up masses and push them into the body, mock up masses and push them into the body, then hold them in, you know, and keep them mocked up. Mock up masses and push them into the body. Just watch your e-meter. Your e-meter needle will start doing things. Well, it just has to do with the density and resistance of this particular mass, electronic phenomena. More important to you is the behavior of the PC under the influence of these things. Well, let me take one case in point. Individual says, well, I've just got this pressure in my chest all the time. It's pressure. Now, Dianetics, old-time Dianetics, would perhaps lead you to believe that this pressure on his chest was something tangible, like a log, maybe, into his chest. You know, he's obviously in the middle of an engram. There's something pressed against his chest. And you'd think, well, maybe it's a blow, or maybe it's an opposing warrior's shield or something. And by the way, the pressure in his chest is quite serious. It could cause asthma, cause tuberculosis, cause him to cave in, have no wind to amount to anything, so he keeps knocking off cigarettes and doing other things, anything but get the pressure off his chest. And you look for something tangible. Well, actually, it isn't anything tangible. Any facsimile that is there is disintegrated into, quote, electrical phenomena, quote. See? It's no longer clearly viewed. It's forgotten. It's chopped up. It's chewed up. It looks like masses and blacknesses and all that sort of thing, and it very well may be some old electronic instrument, which is simply a mass. It's not distinguishable. What is this thing? If he could just look at it and see it and recognize something about it, why, he would get a change of case. But it's so mysterious. What is this thing? It's so mysterious. There's a pressure on his chest, and all he senses is the pressure. Well, I'll let you in on something. That is what he senses about it, the pressure. That's its basic phenomenon. It's the pressure. Well, there's even a process that would handle just pressure. You say, look around here and find some pressure you would be willing to create. You know, look around the room, find some pressure you'd be willing to create, and things will happen to this pressure. But if you got him to look at it, close his eyes, you know, and get an idea of it and so on, he'd start reporting something like it's all black around his chest. Maybe he's below the point of being able to see that. But as he looks, it sort of develops, and he can kind of sense something black pressing against his chest, and he doesn't know what it is. Now, don't worry about knowing what it is. You could handle it just as electrical phenomena. It's disintegrated into electrical phenomena. That's all it is. It's pressure. It's this. It's that. You could have it turn white. You could have it press against something else. You could have him mock it up and press it against his skull. You could handle this pressure one way or the other, just as itself, and with such a process as the best one. Look around here and find some pressure you'd be willing to create, because he's obviously creating this pressure against his chest. In other words, it could be handled straightly. But how the devil does the pressure get maintained against his chest? This is the wonderful thing to ask. How does he do this thing? Well, it's an actual facsimile, and then he has disintegrated it one way or the other and run it downhill, and now the actual form that is being mocked up is simply the form of little currents and currents that are running this way and that, and electrical masses and Guggenflabbets and gee whizzes, you know. They just look to him like nothing you'd ever recognize. He's got the thing totally masked. His idea of getting, of not ising it, is to practically digest it as though it's a turkey or something. Maybe it was a shield, but he's gotten it downscale from that, you see. And becomes this thing called electrical phenomena. Now, if you want to take it apart, if you ask him, what have you done to a chest, and what have you withheld from a chest, keeping him at cause on both parts? See, it's not, what has a chest done to you? That's other determinism. Just skip the other determinism, because the only thing that's wrong with the PC is a perversion of his own self-determinism. You never have to pay any attention to other determinism if you want to process him. Now, what have you done to a chest? See, now that's the outflow. Now, what have you withheld from a chest? That's the inflow. And right at the edge of the ridge, where the pressure is, the outflow is meeting the inflow and is getting... Now, by taking outflow versus inflow, what have you done to, what have you withheld from a chest? It's like this. You take apart this ridge. Now, maybe his chest changes aspect, and someday in the future he gets another pressure. The pressure will be a little different. You see, pressure will be a different place and so forth. He's got another ridge operating there. Well, once more, you could find out what part of it he's, you know, like his throat. He's got lots of pressure against it now. Well, he's moved somewhere else in the engrams. What's happened to him? And you could say, what have you done to a throat? And what's a throat done to you? Wouldn't get it. Why? Because what a throat has done to him is not now being done to him. The only thing that's being done to him is what he's withholding from another throat. You got the idea to get the ridge. See? So you say, what have you done to a throat? What have you withheld from a throat? And you get both sides of it that are still extant and mocked up. Simple, huh? And that'll disintegrate this ridge. These ridges cause them trouble. If you ask around to PCs that you're processing, what is the most annoying thing to them, you would probably find, with some searching questions on your own part, that it was pressures. Pressures of one kind or another. They seem to be the most mysterious thing. To feel something crowded in against your shoulder and have nothing there all the time is mysterious. The individual can't explain it, so he simply tries to forget it and bury it and get rid of it. Truth of the matter is, though, there's still something pressing in against his shoulder and he can't identify it. Well, that's just classified under electrical phenomena, that's all. You could take it apart one way or the other. It's probably somebody else's shoulder or somebody else's something, and it's... you get into an E-meter problem here, a pretty broad E-meter problem sometimes. The guy's got pressure against his shoulder, and you run, what have you done to his shoulder, and what have you withheld from his shoulder? It isn't operating there, it isn't taking it apart. Put him on an E-meter, and you find this, that, the other thing, sort it out, what possibly might be in against the shoulder, and so forth. Well, it might be something like a harness strap, you see, or it could be a meteor, it could be almost anything. You could sort the thing out and find out what was pushing against his shoulder. Now, if you hit somebody, you will find that they will fire back against the blow. In other words, if you hit flesh, the flesh will go in a certain distance and then stop going in, and the blow will be flashed back against. You understand? For a moment or two, just for a micro instant, you see, the surprise factor lets the blow come in before the other person's body reacts to push it back out. You get the idea? Well, right there's a ridge. The moment that the blow is flowed back against holds the blow in suspense. Now, this individual is shot with a bullet. You'll find a tremendous amount of electrical phenomena connected with this. Nerve flow and shock and ripples and pains and all that sort of thing. The moment after the bullet went in, there was pain, went out in all directions from the bullet. But he stopped these. See, each time it went out further, he stopped them. And it went out further, he stopped them. And the painting went further and he stopped him. The painting went up further and he stopped him. And you'll get a silly looking picture of a bunch of concentric spheres and holes. Now you get overt withhold. You run overt withhold against the person. That may seem a little esoteric to you. Say, it's certainly the bullet's doing some of this. No, I'm afraid the bullet's doing none of it. Now, the PC's doing the whole works. He's getting the outflow and the inflow all at the same time. And he's administering, mocking up the pain, you might say, and mocking up the resistance to the pain at regular intervals. Now, you start reducing one of these things or running, being shot. And each one of these successive waves on overt withhold of whatever you're running on, whatever terminal, that each one of these successive waves is an independent new ridge. And they keep coming apart, and all of a sudden the individual has a shooting pain down his spine or something of this sort. Or he has a terrible pain in his head. Well, what's the head and what's the spine? What's a neuron anyway but just an electronic cushion? And they're there just as shock absorbers of electrical impulse. And that's the way they're mocked up. Brain doesn't think. It absorbs a lot of shock, however. Now, of course, the further you go in the incident, the more electrical phenomena and answers you get to the thing. And if you don't even know you're running a bullet, your electrical phenomena gets very, very interesting. There's concentric circles. First, it was non-extant, and then all of a sudden, there was a little sphere, and then there's a wider sphere, and then after you run them for a while, there's a much wider sphere, and then you run them for a while, there's a much wider sphere, and then the next thing you know, a zip, sudden pain goes up in some direction, and then that's stopped, and then that's released again, and you get all of these zips and zaps, and you get the idea? Sudden shocks and pains and sudden sensations and all of that sort of thing. We'll just put them under the heading of electrical phenomena. What you're doing is progressively running an incident through where the thing is, aspects of it are different as you progress through the incident. Simple as that. Further you go in the incident, why, there's different things are happening, you see? And there's different resistances and different flows, and almost any shock or violence comes apart in terms of consecutive series of ridges. Now, it's very interesting to have somebody who has a body, who has a body inside of his body. It's quite common, so common the spiritualists call this internal body, or an astral self, something of the sort. Well, all it is some body he's had in the past that has had a lot of shocks in against it while he'd made a lot of pushes out against it, you see? And he has the semblance of a body, and the whole body in its shape is merely a fixed ridge. Light striking the body, himself outflowing from the body and so forth, eventually gives him a form of a body, and it stays around beautifully mocked up, very solid. And that's basically one source of astral bodies. There could be others. We call it a theta body or something of this sort. It's not a theta body at all. It's a standing ridge in the shape and form of a body. It appears very mysterious to people. Once in a while, these things will get out of hand, and they'll move out from the PC or move in toward the PC. He's just going off to sleep, you see, and his mock-up characteristics alters. See? He's mocking things up one way awake and another way asleep. By the way, the reason persons gets dreams is interesting, just as electrical phenomena. A person gets dreams because he gets lost. And he dreams up a dream so he can orient himself. He's so dependent on his environment to tell him where he is, don't you see? That when he goes to sleep and hasn't got an environment, the best way to handle it, of course, is to mock up an environment. And that tells him perfectly where he is. So he takes composites of other environments and has himself a dream. It's totally a problem in how do I locate myself? Oh, and then, of course, you add the ingredient of fun and adventure and games and that sort of thing, and you get, well, if you've got somebody who believes that every environment is kind of wrong, then any environment he mocks up to take care of himself, the automaticity overcomes him at that point to have something go wrong. So you have what's called a nightmare or something. Sorry. Nightmare has no characteristic other than the facsimile that gets kicked off and is run through. Of course, it's mock-up. And it's much wilder mock-up than you would suspect. It's not accurate mock-up at all, either. Or you get something, you center of Africa with St. Paul's Cathedral coming out of the middle of the sands, you know, and four or five jet planes from Mars cruising by overhead, and that's a perfectly acceptable theme. And that's a good orientation. That's fine. That's fine. That's good orientation. Then something starts going wrong, and he has to mock it up and make it come out right. Dreams are very fascinating. There are other things to sleep, but not other things to dream. A dream is a dream. and a series of mental image pictures, or a series of electrical phenomena of some kind or another, or a series of sensations of one kind or another. Now, the facts of sleep are connected with the individual wanders out of his head and goes around and looks at some things, and the next morning knows something or other has happened someplace. Well, he ought to be able to know it. All doped off, he was over the area. How could he miss? You find out how easy it is to exteriorize a PC into his home, you know, his childhood home. You're not asked to do any exteriorization these days. An individual has to be up to doing it. Confrontingness of a thetan isn't good enough just to exteriorize him. Bing. Gives him a shock. Gives him too much to confront. You work him upscale on confrontingness till he can confront a lot of things. Till he, a thetan, can confront a lot of things. He'll exteriorize easily. And he sees things, too, accurately. He isn't having to mock-ups of what's going on outside of him, outside of his head, something like that. But in a dream, he can drift off. He can drift out of his head, you know, drift and drift around the house. It's very easy to get somebody into his childhood home. You say to be someplace where he's familiar with, and he can go there in exteriorization. So that if he finds out that the old folks are in trouble and he just has that hunch while he's asleep, you know, and so forth, there's nothing very mysterious about it. He was there, you know. He isn't very alert when he's awake. He's kind of stupid, and he doesn't remember very much. And you get all sorts of things. And then also you just get matters of pure knowingness. An individual can know. I don't know why anybody, I've had more white men just go, gee, you know. Down in Polynesia, an old man goes up on the side of the mountain, he sits and concentrates on something or other and comes down and he says, well, Jojo and Izuli will be here next week in the white schooner. And they're carrying along 25 bunches of bananas and a new bandana for you. That's what they're bringing in and so on. And I had a white man, boy, that's pretty terrific. It's pretty terrific. Well, these old guys that are slipping, they're moving around. They have to go over and take a look and all that sort of thing. But they just get up there in solitude, and there's somebody else who knows the information one place, and they just use non-messed communication. And it's not very difficult. It's... you try to explain to most people in this particular culture that people, when they are out of their bodies, are visible or something like this, or that you know something is going to happen into the future and so on, and they want to get very mysterious about the whole thing. It's not very mysterious. It's very mysterious. What's mysterious is why do people mock up this much to know this much about? That's mysterious. I guess to keep interested, you can answer anything. So an individual, then, confronting electrical phenomena, one kind or another, has slipped down below a level where he can confront the actuality of it. Now, they used to have things called electrical cannon on the backtrack, and they'll appear again somewhere in civilized. They just shot an electrical beam, raw electricity. They could flood a whole town with raw electricity of one kind or another. They could had zap guns that put out terrific currents of things, and they're big guns like on a battleship and so forth were electrical cannon that delivered a tremendous, massive, raw shock of electricity one kind or another. You get a PC caught in an engram where one of these electronic battles is going on, and you've got a ball because he's, of course, running an actual engram. And he's made copies of the actual electrical energy that was flowing in that engram. And that's not downgrade at all. He must have a pretty good reality to get that. I've seen a PC absolutely cringe, just cringe, as he starts to get one of these things to get a visibility of it. Electronic cannon firing at him. He knows it'd knock off this body's head if it ever came in on him. Matter of fact, I made myself sick one time and made this body pretty sick. I didn't know that you could mock up radiation as easily, or that I could as easily and so forth as that. I simply mocked up a pillar of radiation and neglected to mock it up at any distance from this body. This body got radiation sickness just that fast. It stayed sick for quite a while. I was trying to do something about it for a while. But that is just straightly mocking up electricity. You see, so electrical phenomena has several sources. Here he's got a facsimile of him, or he just mocks up some electrical stuff, or he's mocking up a facsimile and he's downgraded the thing and it's all disintegrated and it's all in bits and pieces and the result is electrical, zips and zaps. Don't think all electrical phenomena is connected with just electronics incidents. Any incident can become electronic phenomena, see? It can zibs and zap and go polar, get poles, and there's interchanges and so forth. You ask a PC to mock up his mother facing his mother, and you'll get a flow between these two. He can see, gee whiz, what happened? Right? And you mock him up, make him mock up two mothers facing two mothers, and you get a double terminal effect on the thing. And boy, the electrical energy that zips and zaps around there. If he can hold these absolutely steady and keep the thing from exchanging one to the other, he's doing pretty well. But as a matter of fact, what he's trying to restrain in mother is simply some kind of an electrical impulse. On the early track, thetans used to zap each other all the time. They used to have what's called glare fights. One thetan would glare at the other one, you know, and throw a big beam at him. The other one would stand there and glare back again. And between the two of them, they'd practically fry the atmosphere. Then they get a little older, and the overt act motivator sequence catches up with them. One fine day, they run into this thing in facsimile form, you know, and it almost blows their silly head off. They say, I couldn't have had anything to do with that. Oh, no, not much. Now, this whole idea of flows... whole idea of flows gets in your hair in the form of anatin. Why you have to know about this stuff? You run into it. Anatin is caused mechanically, of course, it can be caused just by a postulate. But in any PC that is going anatin during a session, it's not being caused by a postulate. That I can assure you. It's being caused by flows. Person outflows, and a person can inflow on himself. Now, that caused a ridge, didn't it? No, we didn't talk about flows. The actual flows, when this ridge starts getting cleaned up, are repeated. Now, let's say you ran this one. You have done to father. Good. Recall something you've done to father. Good. Recall something you've done to father. Good. And kept the PC just doing what he was doing out in front of his face. See? That's a one-way flow, one-way flow, one-way flow, one-way flow, one-way flow. Pretty soon we do what's called, technically in Scientology, overrunning the flow. See? We go too far, too many times, and this flow overrun begins to stick. We're making a standing wave here. See? You find it more and more difficult to flow in this direction. Get the idea? Well, he just gets out there stuck. It's wonderful that all thetans work this way. I don't know what got into them. They agreed to do this. This gets stuck, and harder and harder and harder to do. Now, two things can happen. You can get an electrical flash. See, actually, it'll be a little flash or something like that. Well, the particles are exploding, answering up the basic laws of physics. It just went bing, see? Or you get it just stuck, and it's just stuck. It's rigid out there. Or the individual overflowing this long, passes up. It's all on the basis of overrunning a flow. The flow was run so long that it could no longer run. See, it balance is all out of balance. It's just one of the laws by which this sort of thing occurs. Now, the test of any process, particularly on a PC that runs flows and ridges easily, is the eating of them. Individuals, by the way, keep these masses around for nourishment, I swear. Now, if you find an overrun flow, all you have to do is trigger it in the opposite direction. You know, the individual overran it and he went to sleep. See? Got sleepy, 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 sleepy. Just trigger it. Just one command the other way. See? And he'll start to wake up. Another command, reverse, and he wakes up further. Another command, reverse, he wakes up further. Wake up. It's all right. Now, if you keep running in, see, withhold, nothing, you'll find the same PC gradually start to fog out. He goes, thud. You see why? You've just overrun the flow in the opposite direction. Now, in on him. Well, If you're a very smart auditor, that's all, by the way, this is. That's all Anatin is. That's all unconsciousness is. You can say it's shock and it's this and describe it that way, but if you get right down to the basis of shock and all the rest of them, you'll find that there's an overrun flow there someplace. Second you trick that, the person will come back up. Trip it. Get it to flow the opposite direction. See? Now, the individual then, when he starts to dope off or starts to look fluttery, of course you have no choice if you're running, look around here and find something you have, look around here and find something you have, you're just running inflow, inflow, inflow. Well, don't be surprised if somebody conks out while you're running nothing but inflow, inflow, inflow. Keep on uttering the auditing command, because he'll eventually overrun the flow one way or the other and start snapping out of it. And this is the crude way to handle a flow. Havingness handles them crudely in this fashion. And it's the havingness, the mass connected with the process, which eventually keeps the thing from getting too upset. But if you were to run this in on just a thought, no mass connected, like think of somebody to talk to you good. 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 See, no mass connected with this. And he wouldn't come out the other side of it. You know, he'd have to have a night's sleep or something like that because there's no mass connected with it. It's just pure flow. And you've overrun it tremendously. Mass does something to remedy the imbalance of flows. But just pure flows, small particle flows, just too long in one direction, you'll dope somebody off every time. And you can get anybody to dope off. Just anybody will dope off on a one-way flow. Now, there are several remedies for this. Is make them do the process in front of their face, under their feet, behind their back, over their head, to the right of them, to the left of them. You see, if it's got to be an inflow process all the way around, we'll put it in from six different directions. And, of course, these directions are canceling each other, and you've got the flow in reverse, haven't you? See, the flow into them in front is an opposite direction when you say into them from behind. So that cancels them, and they'll start waking up again. It's quite interesting to control the alertness of a PC simply by recognizing which way his flows are flowing. An oscilloscope, by the way, shows which direction flow is running. And an oscilloscope rigged up, you can watch which direction the flow is running. And when the flow stops and is run the opposite direction, the oscilloscope will stop and run the opposite direction. One of the more remarkable things, that's simply a meter that measures electrical flows, will measure electrical flows. I mean, it's just no more incredible than that. See? Now, the individual then, who starts going Anatin, is simply overrun too long in one direction. Now, you can get an overt withhold straight wire running so that it'll form a ridge. And everything starts turning black on the PC. You say, what have you done to? 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 Now, what have you withheld from? Good. Now, what have you done to? What have you done to? What have you done to? What have you withheld from? Now, what have you done to? 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 The PC's going, he's drifting out. He's getting less and less alert. Too much in one direction, you see. Well, the thing that goes alongside of this is most amusing. He's forming a screen. A screen may start forming. A black screen, and things start going occluded in front of him. And he can be run so long in one direction that he occludes. Now, if a person is occluded, you can find out which direction he ran too long in, run the opposite side of it, and the occlusion will very often disappear. Isn't this a weird one, the handling of screens, that sort of thing, directly? It's just a matter of direction of flow and how much the ridge is there and what you're doing. The safest thing to do with any PC is to run him half and half. You see? What have you done to? What have you withheld from? What have you done to? What have you withheld from? What have you done to? What have you held from? And he'll get flickers of black screens occasionally even then, but they'll balance out eventually. Now, where the individual is very heavily electrified and so on, he may be dramatizing a robot. Robots ran on juice. They had switchboards, and if they weren't plugged into the wall points, why, they didn't run. It's very embarrassing to a thetan to be in a robot body that somebody had pulled a plug on. Other robot bodies had self-contained batteries, and other ones had little buttons that formed all sorts of power that lasted an entire lifetime. And others, why, you put a piece of uranium in your pocket. Another one, you put a postulate in the skull. It all kinds of ways and means of making electrical bodies run and operate just as there are. And you get somebody that's had a lot of experience and backtrack with these things and found them very satisfactory, still keeping them mocked up, you're going to have electrical phenomena that'll be a cinch. Why? There'll just be currents and everything going all over the place, and the individual every once in a while say, well, something went from that ear to that ear, and it went zip-zap, so I know I'm all right now. Well, that, of course, was when he finally got the wall plug plugged in again. The first thing that happened was you got a discharge from the right antenna to the left antenna, you see, and after that, everything ran. This was his experience. So if he gets a zip-zap from here to here, of course, everything is all right. He can work this out spiritually, he will tell you, right? He knows everything is all right because he's got a zip-zap from right to left and so forth, all kinds of weird things. A very charming society woman one time, very, very social, very, very 400 desk, gorgeous gown, stupid enough, however, to have metal lace woven into this gown, you see, metallic lace, and gown was utterly ruined, just zapped, and there went the side of the gown. A zap came from someplace, went thoroughly enough through the embroider to burn the cloth. That finished that gown. So she got another gown and put it on, and it had a little metallic thread in it one kind or another, and that happened again. And then this kept happening, and somebody finally picked her up and audited her on flows and electrical phenomena, and after that she could wear evening gowns, which was very fortunate for society. Now, another PC sitting holding electrical cans. Sitting there holding a couple of cans, electrodes, all of a sudden ran into a whole batch of an electrical storm, you might say, practically in his own skull. Next thing you know, I zap, and he shot a beam somewhere around, a beam came from, went through his hand, burned a hole straight through his hand between two bones, and burned a hole straight through the electric can of the electrode. Of the E-meter electrode. Just zing, see, just like a lightning bolt, tiny lightning bolt. Went straight through his hand. Didn't hurt him any. He sure had an interesting hole in his hand. Another game. Next day, another can, did the same thing with the next two fingers. It was all right. He got audited up the line, and the holes filled up. But the point I'm making here, some weird things happen. People practically electrocute themselves with this thing. One more comment on electrical phenomena in passing is don't be frightened of it. Don't be terribly engrossed in it. It just happens. Various aspects of it occur. The individual does have ridges and so on. Realize what it is when you run into it. It isn't anything special, new, or strange. It is something that is obeying the laws of flows, the laws of accumulated masses, and it does respond to any and all of the basic processes that you run on PCs. No particular processes are utilized to run this sort of thing, but someday you're going to be running an engram, you're going to find out you're running an electrical engram. Well, watch out and duck, because the air is going to be full of ozone for a while. It can get pretty wild. Go ahead and audit the PC through it. Just go ahead and audit him through it. Let him get the idea that he's going to blow his body's head off, because it's worked out in our experience that he never does. So much for electrical phenomena. I don't think that an auditor has got any business auditing unless he knows that it at least exists. He should know what aniten is. He should recognize aniten at once. Sensation is usually built on ridges of some kind or another. Insanity itself is simply a ridge of must reach, can't reach, must withdraw, can't withdraw. And it's just locked up ridge, and it's got a horrible glee in it. When it starts coming apart, this horrible glee occurs. Pain itself is a ridge. Possibly sexual sensation is developed out of ridges. These are just mechanism of flavor and storage and doing things and so on that an individual does in order to experience. And some people will sit there and simply drain a whole bank of all of the masses and juice and electricity, and you just swear they're just sitting there going slurp, slurp, slurp. They're just energy hounds. They're just eating anything that they can mock up. And the basic process we audited them on, cure them. But for the sake of your own observation and sanity, I'll let you in on the fact that we know what they are. Thank you.